Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, your host. And this week, I am joined in the host seat by none other than Dennis Stiles. Dennis, how's it going today?
Pretty good, my friend. Just trying to keep warm, man. It's getting cold out there right now.
Yeah, it is. It is getting colder, but, you know, this is the time of year where it's a little bit easier to look stylish, too, though. We get to a little bit more to play with.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, we will be doing a segment on layering for the wintertime, so I'm excited to record that episode, I guess, next week. So be on the lookout for that show to be coming out in a few weeks. But today's going to be a different topic.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about Black Friday and how you can get some of the best deals around.
Oh, man. Now, this is interesting subject here. I've never been a proponent of shopping on actual Thanksgiving. I don't know. I mean, if you have a family, how does that even work? How do you even step out of the house to get the best deals possible? How do you go about that, Richard?
Well, hey, you're right. Sometimes Black Friday, you know, in recent times really has become such a big thing. It's really overshadowed the family time. Actually, some families get together and do this. This is the main event, you know?
Exactly. I mean, think about it. Before, it used to be like, oh my God, let's all sit down and watch all three of the football games going on, starting at 12 all the way down to 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if we can blame it on the Detroit Lions for being so bad the past few years that nobody wants to watch football. But
I kind of did watch them because they had Barry Sanders around that time. They used to play a lot in at Thanksgiving, so that was exciting.
Yeah, it's funny that the Lions, they do have that contract with the NFL where they play every Thanksgiving. So, like it or not, they will be on
Cowboys
TV.
Too, right?
Yeah, them and the Cowboys. So we can look forward to that. But also, though, you have to admit, though, Dennis, there are some deals out there, right?
I totally agree. I think what the best deals you can get is the electronic stuff. If you want a new TV, if you want a VCR, you want, I think it's mostly for electronics. As far as clothes, those
deals.
Hey,
Dennis, I'm going to throw a flag on the play. You just said VCR.
Yeah.
Nobody has VCR anymore.
Well, yeah, that's right.
DVDs. I know what you meant, but yeah.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I'm gonna tap in the tape player right now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, you buy a microwave, you find a refrigerator, laundry machine, whatever you need. Those are the deals that are beneficial around Black Friday. As far as clothes, they already extended past the week, man. Like right now, stores are already starting, you know, the 50s, the 60s. Not only that, but some stores are already starting on friends and family. They last for a week, man. Friends and family in a lot of these department stores and regular shops.
No, you're exactly right. And you can find better deals on electronics and things like that. But here's a funny thing. I want to caution people because people get caught up in this Black Friday frenzy thing. And you're right. You actually can get some better deals like right now, like mid-November. And then even after that, Black Friday has kind of wore off. But have you noticed this, Dennis? On Black Friday, you go to, like, let's say you go to a big mall and you start shopping the name brand stores for clothing. I noticed that they're putting out some lesser quality items at that time and discounting it way down. It's not even their regular stuff. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, that is so true, man. It's like I don't understand how that happens, man. Like for example, all these coats that just arrived are already on sale. Now that means that they're not gonna bring these coats back. I have all these stores on lock. I know exactly what they do because that's part of being a stylist. You know, you have to know how these companies work. So how it works is they put out maybe like 5-7 coats of the same. A couple of, or maybe a couple of smalls, a couple of mediums. they're not going to bring that coat back. So what they'll do is they'll put it out on sale real fast.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They know that they want to sell out of that thing, and that's why it's clearanced out so low. But once that coat is gone, it's gone. It's not part of their regular catalog. And I noticed that the quality of these items is a lot less, especially on the accessory items like ties. A lot of times they'll start bundling up things. And if you look real close at the product or really examine it, you'll be sadly disappointed a lot of times that quality is not what you're used to for that name brand store.
Yep, especially on winter items where it's sweaters, they tear down easily. The quality is not the same. It's not as thick as you thought it was. You know what's one item, Rich, that's really, really going down in quality? Down jackets.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And it's funny.
It's not even down jackets anymore. It's more like quilted.
Yep, exactly. There's really no warmth to them. I don't know how they get away with calling it down, but I just wanted everybody to be really aware of this and be cautious, because just because it's saying Black Friday deal, me and you both have some insight into the apparel industry. So I think it's wise that we just let people know everything isn't what it seems in the advertisement. They do that to get you in the store.
Yeah, because you got to understand, mall management, they give you the option to open your store. People don't understand that. Some shops stay closed and they open on a Friday. A lot of stores open at 6 p.m. on Thursday when you're dead smack in the middle of having your dinner, man. Your turkeys hasn't even got out of the oven yet.
Yeah, but that's when they try to pull everybody in there, and that's when they put out a lot of that cheap stuff that you want to avoid and stay away from.
I mean, if you have to get toys and stuff like that, all right, that's fine. But as far as clothes, man, there's no need for you to rush to the stores on Thursday evening. You could do that do it before Thursday, man. That Wednesday or that Tuesday or that Monday.
And you're actually going to get the, I don't want to call it, you know, their normal clothing, but really that's what it is. I mean, I've seriously know that they pull all the good stuff out and replace it with the items that they've bought specifically for the Black Holiday event, or the Black Friday event around this holiday time. And that's when you have the opportunity to what you think is racking up on deals, but like we had mentioned, not to beat a dead horse, but you know, it's subpar quality stuff.
Don't rush into the stores. You don't need to go that day. You have Cyber Monday too. The best quality is right now, man. All the stuff, see what happens is these companies give you deals on specific items. It's called doorbusters, I guess.
Yep, exactly.
And you get sweaters for 2 for $20. In a high-end shop, there's something wrong with that. Why would I get the sweater this cheap right now?
Well, when you get it home, you'll find out when that thing falls apart. The second time you wear it. That's why they call it busters, because it's going to bust apart on you.
Yeah. Exactly what's going to happen. So, guys, stack up now, man, because now you're going to get the same 50 and 60. There's not really much difference.
Yeah, and I have one more trick that people need to be aware of, too, with these ads. And like you said, this even goes with the electronics, too. They will put out in the ads, you know, to your email or to your home mailbox, that certain items that are usually, you know, hundreds of dollars are going to be marked down to say 50, 75 bucks. Read the fine print, because a lot of times there's only, you know, maybe 5 of those per store. And so you're waiting in these long lines and fighting people off, and you get all the way up there and you find out that it's sold out already.
Exactly, and remember, you've been waiting online, especially if for people that actually shop in Target, Walmart, and all these places. These places it's a circus in there, man. People fighting over stuff that they could have gotten a week before.
Oh yeah, exactly. And save so much time just going in there a week before, or like you said, Cyber Monday. Just order the regular items off the website. That way, you know the quality is going to be good, because it's their normal inventory there that they're trying to get rid of. They actually literally do pull in the lesser quality stuff for this week, you know, the Black Friday and that weekend where people just go crazy and lose their minds.
Well, a lot of the stuff they sell now are stuff they didn't sell last year. So repackage it and resell it again for a lower amount.
Yeah, we talked about that previously. I remember you mentioned that, and we said, you know, there's no expiration date on clothing, so go ahead and get in there early. Avoid the lines, avoid the fight, sit down with your family, watch some football. No need to jump up and fight through those crowds.
Well, another thing too, I got another one for you, Rich. How about online shopping? Why don't you just do that?
Yeah, here's the thing about online shopping too. People always say, well, you know, what if it doesn't fit? But most times it's free returns on items that are, you know, over $50 or $100. So they
and return to the actual store.
Yeah, you can do that too. So, I mean, they make it easy these days, don't they?
Yeah, that's why a lot of these companies are taking a hit, right? I don't know if you know, but Macy's is closing out a lot of hundreds of shops all over the world.
Yeah, I think that online retailers are really the future. And there's not going to be a need to have so many of these physical locations. It's just too much overhead.
This is what's going to happen. A lot of these stores are going to become backroom stores or outlets. What that means is these shops are strictly because you train your clientele that 50 and 60% off, just wait until you have that promo, and that's the only time you're gonna go, because the stores put it out too often, man. They don't sell stuff full price anymore. So if you train your customers that you're gonna give them 60 every weekend, what do you think's gonna happen, man? They're not gonna show up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, man.
No, they're gonna wait for the weekend, grab a deal. And that's what everybody's looking for, and this economy is a deal. So, I mean, you can't blame them.
So that's why companies like your company and are you know, they're doing great. It's because nobody wants to spend money in these regular stores anymore.
Yep, you're exactly right. You got to think about the convenience factor. Online shopping, a lot of times you find better deals. Like you said, there's always, they email you almost every day with a new coupon. So, I mean, sit back, relax with your feet up and a laptop. Avoid these Black Friday lines and avoid these crazy people out here pushing and shoving.
I mean, personally, I'm staying home, Rich. Are you staying home with the family? And another thing is, what is your favorite dish for Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be home. I don't go out on the Black Friday. What I like to do is wait. Sometimes I will go out that weekend and pick through. You know, I've got a little downtime, so I'll just go ahead and pick through what's left over. I'm in no rush to try to fight those crowds.
What, are you cooking or your wife is cooking?
No. Nothing for me. So I'm just going to enjoy the football. That's going to be about it this time. But hey, before we close out, let everybody know what we have planned coming up about, what, a week after Black Friday?
Well, yes. I will be going to Michigan to meet up with my co-host of The Life of a Gentleman, Richard Taylor. So I'm excited to, you know, hang out with you around your neck of the woods. We're actually going to be doing a photo shoot for the winter collection for the Harrison Blake apparel. So we'll be on campus in Michigan State, I believe. Right, Rich?
Yep, Michigan State University campus. That should be a nice backdrop for our photos. And you'll be heading up that photo shoot, Dennis. I'm hands off on this one. This is all you, brother.
I'll be styling and directing the photo shoot. It's my first time doing both at once, but I'm more than capable, and I'm excited to, you know, highlight some of the great items that your company is going to bring to us this fall and winter season, Rich.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I bet this wasn't what everybody was expecting when we said we were going to talk about Black Friday. I bet you people are thinking they want to tell us to go out there and get some deals, but we just wanted to caution everyone, be careful, don't get fooled this time of year.
No, man, listen, you're more than welcome to go out there, but I know how the fashion industry works, and is, you don't need to go on Black Friday, man. Trust me, you're gonna get those same deals. Trust me, these companies, they have to give you deals now, because the way economy is right now, stores are closing, you're in control of the situation, they're not anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So with that being said, I think that wraps up that subject, and it's time to get into our interview. You ready?
All right, man. Let's do it.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Gentleman's News, the segment where we interview so many different people from different walks of life, but they all bring us great information every week. And this week, we have the pleasure of interviewing Mr. Michael McNair from nettergold.com. Michael, how are you doing?
Oh, spectacular. It's a beautiful day, man.
It's great to have you on. I'm glad we were able to make this interview happen because you have a product and a website that I'm sure the listeners are going to want to check out. Can you tell us the name of your website and what it is exactly that you all provide for people?
Well, our website is Nettergold. The URL is nprgld.com, an abbreviation of the word Nettergold. And what we offer is completely customizable skin and hair care products for the everyday man, the everyday woman, and even the everyday baby. Our purpose for doing this, our reason for doing this, we got tired of realizing that anything you look at in a jar is artificial for the most part. Like, you look at a tub of lotion, it says cocoa butter, and, you know, it has 26 ingredients, and maybe the 20th ingredient is cocoa butter, you know, or cocoa butter extract. And for me, I realized my skin was natural. Right? It's 100% natural. It's the most beautiful thing I have on me right now. So I need to make sure I treat it correctly. And with that, we made sure our products have no more than 10, you know, ingredients. We do body butter, it's only 7, 8, you know, skin scrub, maybe 10, you know, or beard oil, 6. You know, we try not to overdo anything. We want to make sure people have the ability to create their own. Because I'm not allergic to anything, but my girlfriend's allergic to almonds. So she can't use what I like to use. You know, so I wanted her and everybody else to have an ability to create something that's truly unique just for them. Because you are unique. You were born unique. You're going to live unique. You're going to pass away unique. There's no need to conform, you know, to what people tell you you have to do and put in your skin.
Yeah, I like that idea. You said something that was really wise, that our skin is natural. So why are we putting artificial ingredients on our skin and in our hair? So I take it you guys are taking this all natural approach. It's probably more healthy for us and a lot more effective for our skin, isn't it?
It's amazing. Like, if you look at the, I'm not going to say the name of the company, but if you look at the leading baby lotion, right? It's a nice little pink bottle. And on, I think we got kind of about 25 ingredients, and 3 ingredients are parabens, which are just synthetic preservatives. And there's colors, right? So it's red 53, you know, blue 24. And this is just to make it that nice pink color. But you're putting this on babies, right? Babies are the purest beings. They were just crafted. How can we allow such artificial stuff on pure skin? It always confuses me, you know. And Harris is an amazing apparel company, right? And the most important ensemble or, you know, accessory you have is your skin. You know, if your skin isn't popping, you don't feel like you're popping. You know, you have to look good to feel good. You know, you have to feel good to look good. If your skin isn't where it's supposed to be, if your hair's not where it's supposed to be, no matter what you're wearing, what accessories you have on, you can always feel self-conscious. So you got to make sure you take care of it. You know, and using artificial stuff on natural, you know, skin, it's not going to work out. It's not in the long run. You know, temporarily, you're really beautiful. But as time goes on, age sets in, you know, those negative effects of these untested products are going to cause you, you know, wrinkles, dark spots, liver spots, unattractive damage in the future, so that way.
Yeah, no, everything you're saying makes perfect sense. So now that we've kind of established why you set up this company or why there was a need, how did you do it? How did you get started with this?
Funny story, I had an old girlfriend, and I was using her shower one day when I was coming in from, I was playing tennis or something, and I was all sweaty, and she had this random jar, and it said body scrub on it. And I was like, all right, well, let me give it a shot. Let me be thankful for that. And so I used it, and I fell in love with it. Like, the way my skin feels, you know, it just felt so smooth. But I got the shower, I dried off, and like a couple hours later, I started feeling like a cracking on my skin.
Oh, no.
I couldn't figure out what it was. Yeah, I was like, I couldn't figure out what it was. It was like, it felt weird, like something was crawling on my chest. And I couldn't figure it out. Yeah, okay, so I got some of the lotion put on. It helped for a little bit. So I kept using the scrub, the skin scrub, believing that was, you know, helpful, right? So we went through it. We went to Marshall's. I got them from Marshall's. And it was like $8 for a tub of it. I was like, oh, I love this stuff. I love this stuff. It was inside of one day I looked at it. I was like, I can't pronounce any of these ingredients. I said, all these ingredients, and I can't pronounce a single one. Right? Like, I went to college. I know how to read some stuff. I'm not the brightest bulb at all on the Christmas tree. But I'm looking at it, like, I don't know what this says. So I'm Googling this stuff, and the Wikipedia pages are talking about, like, these synthetic bonds and all this stuff. It's just like, well, yeah, that doesn't seem right, you know? And I have a pretty thick beard. So I was like, well, that doesn't, this seems like this is my hair, you know? And I started noticing split ends because I was using a certain kind of beard pomade. I was like, that's not going to cut us from it. So we started with skin scrubs. You know, we started making some stuff, playing around. I'd make something like, hey, try this. I'd make something, try this. She always told me no. She was like, I'm not trying that. You try it. So I was the official taste tester, official product tester of every single product. And I realized, you know, over time what combinations work with essential oils and all that kind of stuff. To get a good shine, a good cleanse, and just a good overall golden glimmer. Now, and then as it transitioned, I was like, I wanted to introduce like body butter, you know, lotion. Because I used to love, and this is, everyone's gonna know, it's like the Queen Hatties, you know, cocoa butter when I was in college was the thing. You know, you get the whole tub of it for like $2 from Walmart, and it was beautiful and lasted and great. But the stuff is terrible for you. So we introduced body butters. After a couple months of trial now, you know, I use the same techniques from there to try transition to other stuff. Then realized I can completely customize people's products because I spent so much time making stuff and experimenting to figure out what worked and didn't work. I knew the formula for making anything work the way I needed it to work.
Wow. So like you said, a lot of trial and error, but it seems like now you've got the formula down. You mentioned you had products for men, women, and children. So you really got it down to a science at this point, right?
Yeah, working on it. One of the things that people don't understand when it comes to children, though, kids' skin is very delicate. You're not supposed to use essential oils on it. A lot of people do buy their kids stuff for fragrances. You know, like a fragrance, it's a synthetic fragrance. You know, an essential oil is a naturally derived oil from a plant or a nut or something, but it's so concentrated that if you put it on your skin as is, it can burn it. And for a baby, that's dangerous. You know, so people are using stuff they use for them on their kids and wonder why their eczema is starting to flare up. The kids, Outline for Children has no essential oils in it. And then for men and women, the fragrances come from the oil, you know, because it's light. You don't need too much. A little goes a long way without stuff. There's no need to dilute our bowls. It'll last months and months.
Okay. Now that sounds good. Now I had a question about the name, Netter Gold. That's kind of an unusual name. Could you explain how you came up with the name of that for your company?
Well, my buddy Akeem, one of the guys that works with me, he's really big into African folklore, you know, African culture and everything. And I was asking about books on African philosophy. And one of the books he mentioned was Metu Netter books. And it pretty much means God's word. So Netter is the Egyptian word for God. Then Neteru is for gods and goddesses as a group. You know, then there's also the Kemetic words, which ancient Kemet is what we call Egypt today. It was like Neger and Negeru. So we decided to go with something simple, with a little bit of complexity to it. So Netter is the Egyptian word for God. And then gold, of course, is what we consider our product. So our product is essentially called God's Gold. And the reason why we allow full customization is because essentially you are your own God. You are your own being. Only you control what happens to you. You know, if you don't do it correctly, no one else is going to do it for you. So you have to take control. You know, look inward first and realize that you control your universe. And then from there, you take back your universe with something so small as your skincare. Because you've been giving away for years, you know, your ability to choose, pick and choose what goes on your skin, what goes, you know, what your skin absorbs, what you eat. So we want people to take back, you know, a small part first, you know, your skincare, and realize this is something you can take back. You know, so you're making your own goal. You're making your own God's goal.
Yeah, I like that because the skin, you keep coming back to that. And the more I think about it, you're so right. It's the largest organ on our body, and it's what people see the most. I mean, our hands, our face. In the summertime, more of our skin is exposed, so we definitely want to take care of it. Especially, you know, the title of this podcast is The Life of a Gentleman, and what gentleman wants to walk around with skin that's damaged and dry and cracked? That's not a good look, is it, Michael?
It's not at all. Yeah, it's definitely not. The crazy thing is, a lot of people always wonder, what's my key to having a full beard? Because at one point I had a bald spot, you know, and it was like right on the bottom and like a point on the side. And people like kept wondering how I, you know, filled it in. And I told my friends, it was like, you're focusing too much on the hair. You know, if you focus on the hair, that's nothing. You got to focus on the roots, the soil. You know, you got to focus on the skin.
Yeah.
It's just like a tree, you know, a forest. You know, you can do everything you want to the top of the tree and make it look pretty, but if your soil is damaged and cracked and it's not hydrated, it's not well taken care of, your tree's not going to grow. So you got to start with the skin. Like, everything external in my opinion, comes from the skin. Like, the hair comes from the skin. You know, you got to make sure that it's well taken care of. If it's not secreting the right, you know, oils, you know, if you're using the long stuff and stripping away your natural oils, your hair's not going to grow the way you want it to. You know, you're not going to look, you're not going to have that glimmer, you know, that shine, that goddess glow, that god glow, you know, in your hair, because the soil is corrupt.
I like how you explain this, and interesting enough that there's a lot of gentlemen that have problems with patchy beards, and I never thought about it. Like you said, go to the root of the matter, the skin, where the hair follicle pushes through. You've got to take care of that first before you can get that beard to come in nice.
This is something a lot of people overlook. You know, a lot of men, women, everyone usually overlooks the fact that your skin is where your hair is coming from. Because hair in general is dead, you know, so you got to make sure that what's living underneath is well taken care of. So when it comes out, it blossoms and it blooms. You can't try to deal with it once it's already out. A lot of people say, you know, like the shampoo that prevents split ends and stuff. A lot of times those shampoos have like a bonding agent in them. So when you're washing your hair, the split ends kind of get fused together.
Yeah, you have a lot of knowledge in this area. So everybody that's listening, we have to check out this website. Again, that was www.ntrgld.com. Now, before we close out this interview, Michael, we can hear the passion in your voice. So we want to know, what drives you as an entrepreneur?
Well, funny you ask, I personally believe whatever a person wanted to do as a child is what they want to do with the rest of their life. That was the purest desire you had. You know, before the world told you you couldn't achieve something, or couldn't be something, you believed you could do something. You know, a lot of times I equate it to when people, well, men have midlife crises, right? Quote unquote midlife crisis. And people are always like, oh, this guy wants to go. He's 40 years old. He has like 3 kids. Now he wants to, you know, start a rock band. He's like, no, when he was a child, he loved music. He wanted to be a rock star. But society told him he could not be this. He couldn't do this. It wasn't practical. It wasn't logical. You can't do that, right? And he believed it. He accepted that and said, okay, you know what? I'm going to become an accountant and do this. Or I'm going to go and make sure I work in stocks and bonds and do this. You know, do something that makes money, but I'm not really passionate about it. And for me as a kid, when I was 6 years old, my dad took me to see the Batman movie. And I realized that day that I wanted to be a hero. I wanted to change the world. But one thing I realized was a reoccurring pattern was personal responsibility and self-empowerment. A lot of people never take credit for what they did wrong, right? Like, if I get an A in school, I got an A. I earned that A. If I get an F, I said a teacher gave me an F. You know, I didn't take up my own personal responsibility and say, you know what? This is what I earned. I need to do better. You know, a lot of people are told at young ages that they're not good enough. Like, I was told a lot by teachers that I wasn't, you know, just wasn't good at all. Like, one teacher told me I was scum. You know, I told you earlier, a teacher used to go for my artwork. If I was a weaker-minded person, my parents didn't tell me I was great, I would have believed these people and said, okay, you know what? I'm nothing. So my thing is I've seen this happen to so many people. And I just want to encourage people that you are great. You're amazing. You know, so as an entrepreneur, I just want you to realize that you can do whatever you want to do. You know, you can do anything you want to do as long as you set your mind to it and you believe it. So that's what my parents always told me. But with this company, it's just that. You can do anything you want to do. Take it back. Take it from the small, right? Start with your skin. Start with your hair. Take that back from society who told you what you could and couldn't have. And then once you realize that you can have anything you want in that realm, what's going to stop you from getting anything you want in other realms? You know, like I was thinking about the blog we have. We get people to submit their posts and they're telling stories and it's a completely anonymous story. To me, that's important because you never know who may have the same story as you. You know, who has shared a similar pain as you. They say pain is life's greatest lesson, you know? You never know who's had the same type of feelings, the same emptiness in your soul. And it's important to realize that you aren't alone in a lot of these things. And all I want to do is bring people together and make sure they understand it. You know, if you understand that other people have suffered like you suffered or have succeeded like you succeeded, you want to remember that you can always do better, that you're not alone, that you have someone that has your back. Because a lot of people aren't told as kids, like I was, that I was great. Like, my father told me I could do anything I wanted to. My mom told me I could do anything I wanted to. That was powerful. But as an adult, I want to make sure people understand that I believe in it. And what you want to do is positive, I believe in it. A lot of people, like the drug dealers and stuff, they're told they're great, but they're told they're great at drug dealing. So that's what they strive to do, to be a drug dealer. Like, if someone tells you you're great at math, you're going to work harder to be good at math. And that's all what people tell you you're good at. and they push it forward and they continue to do it. They're great, you know, and that's what you chase after. I'm just trying to tell people they're great at being good people, you know, because there's not enough good people in the world that are getting credit. I want everybody to know what you do. If you're a good person, I love you. If you're not a good person, let me give you a hug. Let me try to make you a better person.
Yeah, that's some great advice, and thank you for encouraging those that are listening. And because we have a lot of people, they want to start a business, and sometimes they're scared to do that. But thanks again, like I said, for that encouragement. Now, the last question we like to ask everyone that comes on: what does the life of a gentleman mean to you?
Oh man, that was easy. First, you got to make sure you're a good person. You got to make sure your heart's good. You got to make sure you're a pure heart, like as best as possible. You got to make sure you do your best in everything. You gotta make sure you look good too. I don't know if you realize over the phone I'm quite eccentric, and I can't be eccentric and look bad, because no one's gonna listen to me. You know, I have to make sure I'm dressed, you know, properly across the board. You know, so like I told you, I have so many hairs and like subscription boxes. It's ridiculous. Most pristine pocket square, you know, the best socks, the right watch, you know, and lapel pins. I've never even heard of lapel pins before hairs and like, and I have so many. I just love, you know, having them. No, so you got to make sure your pure heart, you make sure your clothes are good. You got to make sure your mind's good. If your mind's clouded or diluted, you'll never be the gentleman you're supposed to be. You know, looking the part is nice, but you got to be the part.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Michael. And thank you for supporting Harrison Blake as well. That really means a lot to me personally. Before we go and close out, though, can you let everybody know one more time the name of the website where they can get these products? And also social media so we can follow you and keep in touch.
The website is nettergold.com. It's an abbreviation of NTRGLD.com. And for social media, it's @nettergold, NETRGOLD.
All right, Michael, that sounds good. We hope that we can have you on again in the future. And until next time, take care.
Have a good one, sir. I'm always a phone call away.
And now it's time for A Woman's Touch. This is to give listeners tips on etiquette and men's fashion from an etiquette and manners expert. Since good manners and etiquette is timeless, these tips will definitely help you achieve the gentleman's code. So now, this is A Woman's Touch, only on The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Life of a Gentleman podcast. And this week, we have once again our special guest, Sharon Schweitzer, who is an international protocol expert and the founder of Protocol and Etiquette Worldwide, which is based in Austin, Texas. She is also a best-selling and international award-winning author of the book Access to Asia. And it is a pleasure to have Sharon joining us on the podcast once again. How are you doing today, Sharon?
Good afternoon, Richard. I'm doing well. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, it's always good when we get a chance to talk, because we've been receiving some feedback from the listeners and they appreciate the tips that you're giving. And I certainly appreciate it too, because every time I talk to you, I'm learning something new. I'm a lifelong learner, and so talking to you is really a treat.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's always good to catch up with you, Richard. Find out what all the latest tips you have in the life of a gentleman.
Thanks. And you know, it's that time of year, Sharon, where we're approaching the time of year where a lot of people are getting together with family and friends. And so people are a lot more social. So we're going to need your help this week with some tips around this time of year. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times at Thanksgiving or other gatherings at this time of year, you're with your family and your friends, and some people don't know how to break the ice. They don't know how to get a conversation started. Maybe they're at a mixer around people that they don't know. What can you do? What are some tips?
Well, Richard, it is. It's holiday season, and there are some great conversation starters that people can use to have fun and enjoy the season. So one of the best things we can do is we got Thanksgiving. So a great conversation starters are, for Thanksgiving, you can talk about what you're grateful for. What do you express gratitude for, either in the past year or what you have that you're looking forward to that you're grateful for, either some upcoming travel or vacation. Talk about what you're grateful for the past year with family, friends, wonderful memories. The other thing that is a great conversation starter is family recipes, family traditions. The other thing that is a wonderful conversation starter, if you're a host or a hostess and you are having a holiday event, maybe Hanukkah, maybe Christmas, maybe New Year's, there are Kwanzaa, all kinds of, or Festivus, as Seinfeld has recommended. You know, any kind of different holiday season event, you may want to have a list of topics ready that you can engage your dinner guests with. For example, asking them about some of the Nobel Prize winners that we have been reading about, what these fabulous discoveries and inventions and fabulous things that they have come up with. And if someone is unfamiliar, you can tell them about them. As a host or hostess, it's our duty and our responsibility to have wonderful conversation starters. Another one that's really good is some of the best-selling books that are out. And talk about, here's some of the new books. You know, is anyone reading this fiction book or this nonfiction book? Or what are you reading in your book club? And another one that's fabulous is all of the movies that are out right now. You can talk about Deepwater Horizon or The Magnificent Seven or all the upcoming holiday movies that are about to be released. This time of year is just, there's a plethora of wonderful movies coming out. So there's lots of fantastic topics that we can all talk about and avoid those, you know, things that happen whenever someone throws a political bombshell in the middle of the table trying to talk about politics or religion or something that, you know, is not a good conversation starter.
Well, those are some great tips, and a lot of those conversations that you mentioned are really fun ones, so that's a good way to get people talking, because everybody seems to like movies or books, one of the two, so you'll get people to open up that way for sure.
You will. And if you know what, Richard, if you can't do it without, try pets. Everyone, almost everyone, has some kind of a pet, a dog, a kitty cat, you know, a little hamster, or at least a fish.
Yeah, that's true. I know I have a dog, and I really wasn't a dog person, I'll tell you that. But my family wanted a dog, and now after a couple years, me and that dog are inseparable. So those pets, they grow on you, don't they?
They sure do.
It's funny how that works. Well, back to the subject, though. What's the best way to handle some of those prying questions that people ask? So we don't want our evening to be ruined because we know we're going to be interacting with people. So how can you deject or handle some of those situations with class?
Well, I know your listeners are familiar with this phenomenon. You know, we know that at all stages of life, sometimes we get those prying questions. And as adults, we dread hearing questions about relationships, wedding, marriage, and kids. And the same goes for young adults and teens as well. Questions like, when are you graduating? What are your plans after graduation? Or, when are you going to make me a grandmother? Or, have you thought about getting married? You know, those are the kinds of questions that just make everyone squirm at the table, especially the subject of the question. So it's best to prepare yourself for these questions, not only yourself, but your children, in case you have agony aunt or agony uncle that are going to be there at the dinner table. So the best way to do that is to think about a humorous, lighthearted answer, and you want to be authentic to yourself. So you need to put this in your own words. But the best way to answer a prying question like that is to say something like, you know, this probably is not really a good time to talk about that here at the Thanksgiving table because I don't want to get indigestion. Will you please pass the mashed potatoes and then have somebody else who's a wonderful, kind soul ask about the latest movie? The other thing you could do is say something like, well, you know what? I think I'm getting married tomorrow, and I'd really like it if you could join us, and then ask for them to pass the gravy. So do something kind of humorous, kind of lighthearted, and see about, you know, asking them to pass something on the table, or change the subject if you can. But be respectful, but use some humor.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I like that tip. Now, speaking of humor, a lot of times you see in these movies around this time of year, there's somebody that's asked to do a toast, and this may even be for a wedding. And you see some of these toasts go on and on, like people are giving a speech, or they're raising their glass above their head, you know, giving a proclamation or something like that sometimes. And so what if we get put on the spot and we're asked to do a toast? What would you say? What advice could you give to things we need to avoid?
Well, hopefully a wonderful host or hostess would never put a guest on the spot to give a toast, because you want your guests to be comfortable, and that would make anyone uncomfortable. So that is probably the worst possible thing that a host or hostess could do, because it would not be gracious. Usually the host or the hostess is the one that gives the toast. And then if someone is the subject of a toast, they will reciprocate the toast. But the meal is the memorable part of the day. So if the host gives a toast, they usually want to remember a couple of things. They want to be bright, be brief, and be seated. So I kind of like to call it the three B's. So they want to be bright, so they want to be entertaining. They want to be very brief, and then they want to sit down. So when they toast, they stand. But it needs to be very short. And then, really, unless you are the one being toasted or honored, no one else needs to make a toast. And if the host or hostess has other people offering to make toast, you can maybe let one or two other people make them. And if it continues, you can say, why don't we have the rest of the toast done after dinner, when we can all retire to the patio? That way, lively dinner conversation can ensue, and you don't have a lot of people trying to monopolize by making toast.
Yeah.
Now, if you are the guest or the person who is the subject of a toast, you never raise your glass and drink, because that would be like clapping for yourself.
Oh, that's
awkward. Don't drink. Yeah, it is awkward. You don't drink to a toast in your honor.
Good advice. Now, that's an eye-opener for probably a lot of us. You mentioned drinking, and this is where we want to be careful, especially this time of year. Like you said, we're having a lot of company or being invited over people's house, and sometimes problems can occur with the indulgence of alcohol. So how do you handle those rogue guests in those situations?
Well, you know, whenever you're toasting, and this is where sometimes you see the rogue guests, you can toast with alcohol. You can toast with sparkling grape juice. You can toast with sparkling fruit juice. Many people do not toast with water, because that is seen as not an authentic toast, or that is seen as less than a true, sincere toast by tradition. So many people will toast with sparkling apple juice, sparkling grape juice, or some sort of an actual sparkling juice. And so if you want to limit alcohol, you are more than welcome to serve something sparkling. And you can make a toast without alcohol. It does not have to be alcoholic. And you do not need to listen to someone tell you, oh, you can only toast with alcohol, because that is incorrect. So you can be prepared and have a toast with a sparkling beverage or just a fruit juice.
Oh, that's great advice. That would limit some of the problems that could occur.
If you do have a rogue guest, what you want to do is ask them, let's say you've been serving some wine and they've had a glass or two or four or five, and you all of a sudden notice, oh my gosh, this person has had several glasses of wine that they shouldn't have had. What you might want to say is, would you like a glass of water? And if they decline, then quietly, without embarrassing them, you might want to take them to the side and visit with them and say, you know, would you like for me to make arrangements for you to get a ride home? You don't want to embarrass them. You don't want them to feel unwelcome.
Okay.
Okay, so if they've been, you know, maybe they've overserved themselves. So just remember, don't embarrass them, but in private, let them know, you know, maybe they've gotten loud and ranted about politics, but let them know this is not the time or the place. This is the holidays, and it's best for them to kind of maybe keep their opinion private.
I like what you said there, not embarrassing people. That really is a classy way to handle the situation, pulling them to the side and still considering their feelings, even though they might not have all their mental faculties about them. So thank you for that tip.
My pleasure.
Now, again, this time of year, so many of us are visiting with our friends and families. We have time off of work, and so there's a lot of downtime, and sometimes we're pulled in so many different directions. So what is the best way that we can handle these multiple invites that we have going on?
Well, it's a good idea for the hosts to share somewhat of a schedule, and they should make one. And not only does this help keep the host on track on a busy day, but it also allows for guests to plan other family visits in the area, especially for those traveling during the holiday. It saves people, you know, maybe sometimes too much together time. But there's a trick to planning a schedule. You do not want to say, well, the meal will be at 2 o'clock. Because you were going to have people sliding and come skidding in at 1:55, right before the meal. So you want some play in that schedule. So you might want to tell them, plan to be here between 1 and 3. And don't quite tell them when the meal will be served. Or plan to be here between 12 and 2. Give them a time frame. But don't tell them specifically when the meal will be served, because if you do that, they're going to just slide right in or barely make the meal. And you want them there a little beforehand to relax and for everything to be kind of calm. And you don't want them just arriving for the meal and then leaving immediately. So while you do want to have somewhat of a schedule, there's a difference between, you know, having a lunch holiday meal and having a dinner holiday meal. So that's where you kind of want to work out a schedule is, well, are we going to be at their home for the holiday breakfast, holiday brunch, holiday lunch, holiday dinner, you know, holiday evening supper? You know, how are we going to work the schedule so that they can break the day maybe into thirds or in half? What you don't want is somebody trying to make 5 visits in one day.
Yeah, those are good tips, because we do have to plan this out. It pays off to be organized and schedule these things. One of my last questions I had is, this time of year, there's a lot of sports on TV. So that's a bonus for me. But when you have all these people at the house, you know, sometimes we get a little carried away tossing around the football or getting excited over these games. And then you have some of the younger ones there, too, and they're very active, and they want to start maybe roughhousing or playing sports. How do you handle those situations? What do you suggest for games or activities to keep everybody happy, but also to keep things under control?
Well, I think there's a few things that some boundary setting that is always a good idea, and your listeners will probably appreciate this with their families. You know, it's always good to keep that hustle and bustle out of the house. And families need to work off some energy. And so it can be great to say, hey, let's do some flag football outside in the yard, or let's go out there and play some soccer. Why don't we all take a bike ride or a big walk around the block and walk through the neighborhood? Let's go look at some decoration. You know, those are all really good things to do. And especially if you have guests, you know, for them to take a walk around. And if the weather doesn't cooperate, you can always keep the fun indoors with, you know, an indoor football game, crafts, board games. And this also gives the kiddos a chance to learn a game they've not maybe not played before, or maybe not played in a long time. So guests get a chance to reconnect and visit during this time while either the meal's being prepared or people are just reconnecting. The one thing that we do encourage people to do, and I know a lot of your listeners probably do this, Richard, is let people know when the meal is served, we are going to have the television off. And we're going to ask everyone to unplug all of their devices because we want to have conversation and we want to connect and communicate during the meal. You know, we don't want to have a TV in the background. That's not what today is for. We just want to be able to talk and have conversation. So, you know, the football and the iPad and the telephone are all going to go off. We don't want to hear any ringing and dinging and pinging.
Right.
You know, all the electronics and things. So, and if there's someone who just really can't miss the game and just has to see every game that day, then, you know, sometimes people need to make the decision that they're going to stay home and watch the game. And you can always wrap up a nice plate for them and take it to them that evening. Or they can pop by and get a to-go plate later in the day.
Oh, that's a good option, too. Yeah, I appreciate that. Those are some good tips. Hey, Sharon, before we go, I had a question about your book. It's called Access to Asia. And if I'm not mistaken, it talks about U.S. and world culture. And it includes advice on business and social communication. I think this book would help people to learn more, you know, about subjects like this. So can you let everyone know where they can find this book? Because I think it would really be helpful for our listeners.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Yes, your listeners can find it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble bookstores, or BarnesandNoble.com, and also on my website at SharonSchweitzer.com, and it's Sharon, S-H-A-R-O-N, and Schweitzer, spelled like Albert Schweitzer, S-C-H-W-E-I-T-Z-E-R.
Thank you so much for sharing that, and also, I know you're very active on social media. Could we get those as well so people could keep in touch or maybe tweet at you if they have a question about modern manners or something in this discussion?
Yes. I'm on Sharon Schweitzer on Instagram. And on Facebook, it's the same thing, Sharon Schweitzer. And then on Twitter, I'm on Austin Protocol, AustinProtocol.com.
Well, thank you so much for that, and thank you again for coming on The Life of a Gentleman. Like I said at the outset, we always appreciate connecting with you because you give us so much good information that's practical and can help us be better gentlemen. So hats off to you.
Thank you, Richard. You and your listeners have a wonderful holiday season.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. We certainly would like to thank you for listening today and hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please, if you would you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast? It really would help us to get this information out to others and also boost our rankings on the iTunes list. We want to send a special thank you to Dennis for coming on, sitting in the co-host chair. Also, a nice thank you to Michael from Netter Gold Beard Oil, who gave us so many good tips about how to maintain a good beard or how to grow a good beard, and also the importance of having quality, all-natural ingredients. Check out their website, definitely. Last but not least, we want to send a special thank you to Sharon for coming back on once again and giving us some great information and reminders for this time of year when we're around our friends and our family. Lastly, we'd like to also thank all the contributors to the Life of a Gentleman podcast, including Deandra, who does a great job doing the producing for us. If you would like to try the Harrison Blake Apparel monthly subscription, we have a special gift for you. Use the code NEWLOOK, all caps, NEWLOOK, and that will get you $15 off your first monthly box. So that is definitely some incentive to give it a try. Until next time, gentlemen, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by Deandra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.